This is Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borgers. It's day 20 of the partial government shutdown. The president and congressional Democrats remain in a stalemate. President Trump is in McAllen, Texas, visiting a border patrol station and making his case for a $5.7 billion wall, his signature campaign promise, which he says is critical to national security. Though he previously said he'd be proud to shut down the government over the border wall, today he's blaming Democrats.
The government shut down because Democrats will not fund border security, plain and simple. And again, more than just the walls. Their open borders agenda threatens all American families, including millions of legal immigrants throughout our nation.
Now, some, including the mayor of McAllen, say a wall won't solve America's border issues. So what's really going on down there? Well, here to help us answer that question is WBUR immigration reporter Shannon Dooling. Hey there, Shannon.
Hi, Callum.
So, Shannon, you've reported from McAllen, Texas. Let's start there, where the president is right now. He says there's a humanitarian and security crisis, but the city's mayor, Jim Darling, sees things a bit differently.
I certainly wouldn't call it a crisis. You know, the depiction is the 500 people that we're getting are illegal aliens, and technically when we get them, they're legal because they're waiting a hearing. So I hate to use the word crisis on the border.
So, Shannon, there's two contrasting assessments of what's going on in the same place. What did you find when you were in McAllen?
Right. When I was in McAllen, it was back in June. So this was sort of at the height of the family separation crisis, a lot of unknowns. And we went down with a delegation of congressmen and women from New England. And a few things. There is a very strong and common work-life pattern between those cities along the border. So McAllen, Texas, Brownsville, Texas, which is about an hour's drive away from McAllen to the east. And you get the sense, I mean, it's very common for people to go back and forth. There's you know, people from Mexico cross over to come to work every day. There's a lot of commerce that depends on that border crossing being, a secure but also a efficient place for people to go back and forth. When we were there, we crossed in neighboring Brownsville. And one of the things that stands out to me at that point was, you know, you had to take a quarter and put this quarter into a turnstile sort of, you know, contraption to get basically to get back into the U.S. Before you could, you know, have your U.S. passport sort of inspected. So that, I don't know, that there was just something sort of casual about that, right? Like, make sure you get your quarter before you come over the border. When we were there in June, we hadn't quite seen the spike in asylum seekers that we are hearing about now and, you know, across the southern border. But we did come across a few families who had been waiting right at the border entry in the name of the Mexican city escapes me, but it's at the Brownsville, Texas side of the border. And they had young children that they were waiting for days to present themselves to U.S. authorities to seek asylum. This was at the very beginning of what the U.S. government is calling their sort of metering system to sort of control the flow of how many people they are going to let into the U.S. at a given time to present themselves for asylum, which, of course, is a humanitarian program.
So it sounds like when the president says that there's a humanitarian and security crisis, he's sort of lumping two different things in there, right? I mean, can it be the case that there is a humanitarian crisis in the sense that people are showing up in desperate straits, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're rushing the border and trying to cross illegally?
That's right. I mean, there are different numbers, right, that we need to be sure that we're not conflating. And I think that, you know, it's probably easy and quite frankly, in the president's best interest in the sense of supporting his call for this wall to try to kind of, paint this with broad stripes. You know, there's the asylum crisis, which I would, you know, having been in Tijuana for a few days and seeing the number of people that are coming from very desperate circumstances, living in very desperate conditions, that did have a crisis feeling to me. That did have a humanitarian urgency to me in Tijuana. And this was just a couple weeks ago, last month that we were there. But these are people who are waiting. They're being told by the U.S. government to wait your turn. Literally take a number and you'll get a sense of when you can cross into the U.S. to present yourself to an official. So they're waiting. They're doing what they're told. You know, on the other side of things, and those numbers are going up, people who are presenting themselves at U.S. borders, family units, as they're called. So, you know, families with children. I saw so many children, so many young children waiting in Tijuana with their families. Those numbers are up. What has been decreasing, however, is the apprehensions of people who are trying to cross the border illegally. So people who maybe are trying to, you know, skirt in between the official ports of entry and are, you know, being apprehended by Customs and Border Patrol. Those apprehensions, those numbers are down. And so when we're talking, we're hearing from the president this message about there's a crisis at the border, you know, an open sort of porous place where dangerous criminals and drugs are flooding in every day. I did not get that sense in any of the places, any of the border communities that I've visited over the last year or so. The humanitarian side, I did feel in Tijuana especially, you know, is something that needs to be addressed.
So it's interesting. You've got sort of these graphs going in different directions. I mean, we've got numbers from the United Nations that show that these asylum seekers, the numbers in 2016 were double what they were just a couple of years earlier, to your point. And yet the decrease in the illegal border crossing apprehensions is way down. It was about 1.6 million at its peak in 2000, down to only about 400,000 in the most recent fiscal year. I mean, that's a dramatic decline. And that's the group that presumably would be stopped by a wall, right? Trying to get across.
That's right. And you know, we've heard from government officials along the border on both sides of the border, on the Mexican side and on the American side, saying, listen, you know, we have technology that's increased our ability to spot people who are trying to sneak over the border. We, you know, that has led to this sort of like decline in some of the illegal border crossings. You know, these people who are coming from other parts of Mexico, who are coming from Central America, who are fearing for their safety in their home countries, you can build the tallest wall out of the strongest material that this world has ever seen, and many of these people will still make their way to the southern border and try to apply for asylum. And the reason they're going to do it is because you cannot deter someone who's running for their lives, essentially. And in many cases, those are the stories that we were told in Tijuana, where people who were at their wit's end. They have small children. They don't know what else to do. They're aware of the asylum process in the U.S. They take months to get there, and now they're waiting their turn.
I know that one of your trips to the border was with a congressional delegation from New England. Mm-hmm. What did you hear from them? I mean, we're not in a border area, obviously. I imagine that perhaps we've heard some of them, Democrats, all of them in Massachusetts, talk more about visa overstays, for example, than illegal border crossings.
Right. I mean, you know what? The thing with immigration is it's a bit unwieldy, right? When we talk about this big topic of immigration, I mean, there's so many different facets of it. When we talk about policies, there's policies that pertain to security that inherently will focus on the borders. And then there's policies that refer to people who are already in the U.S., so people with visas, people who overstay their visas, TPS recipients, Dreamers. I mean, we can't forget that in the middle of all of this, yes, there are, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of federal workers that are struggling. There are also hundreds of thousands of TPS recipients and Dreamers who have no idea what their fate is right now either. And so there's a lot at stake.
WBUR immigration reporter Shannon Dooling, please stay with us. But speaking of the congressional delegation that I mentioned a moment ago, the House is in session as we speak, but we did catch up with Massachusetts Congressman Joe Kennedy moments ago on his way to the House floor. And I began by asking him what he's hearing from constituents on day 20 of this shutdown.
We're hearing that everybody wants to get back to work and that we want this shutdown to end. And I could not agree more, obviously. It's frustrating. It is not the government that the American public, I think, deserves or should demand. And this could end and should have never started to begin with. And so I hope the president goes back to the deal that he agreed to 20 days ago and opens up government.
Do you think that's likely?
I don't know what's likely with President Trump, and that's part of the problem. I think even our Republican colleagues would acknowledge that it becomes awfully hard to negotiate with an individual who continues to change the negotiating position. And I think it's really important for everybody to understand the government funding bill that was up right before Christmas passed the Senate bipartisan 100-0. It was scheduled to come over to the House, and it was going to have broad bipartisan support here, and it failed after the right-wing folks in the Republican Party spun up conservative media. There has been a couple of bills that we have voted on since Democrats came to in power right here in the House that have would open up government, and they have passed with bipartisan support. We've got Republicans on board to open up government. There's four or five, I believe, Republican senators that are calling on the president to open up government at this point. There is bipartisan agreement here to open up the government. It is the president, essentially, that is standing in the way.
And he hinted at what his next move might be. He's in Texas this afternoon, but on his way as he was departing Washington, he told reporters that he will probably declare a national emergency if the deadlock over funding for his border wall continues. First of all, Congressman, in your view, does he have the authority to declare that emergency? And if he does, what would you and the House do?
The answer on this is, does he have the authority to do it? He probably has the authority to do it. Does that mean it will withstand legal scrutiny? No, it doesn't, and that is very much up in the air. And certainly, even if he might have the legal authority to do it, should he do it? The answer to that is absolutely not. Look, this is it would be an unprecedented grab of presidential power, certainly in modern American history, and I don't say that lightly. You talk to my conservative colleagues here, they are very uneasy about this, understanding that while a border wall might be something that they support, the prospect of setting a precedent here for a series of policies that a Democratic president could then put in place is something that I think makes everybody uneasy when it just comes to with regards to the acquisition here of power by an executive. And the fact is that if the president is looking for a comprehensive fix to immigration reform, I'm all in. This has been a policy priority of a number of us here for years. We'd like to do that. You can open up government and address those concerns. If you want to find a way to get to yes on a series of challenges here, we're all in on that too. There's no reason to keep 800,000 American families, folks that work for the federal government, hostage to try to get a policy proposal that he largely ran a campaign on here in the midterms and lost.
We do have something called the National Emergencies Act for this type of situation. It requires the president to notify Congress when an emergency is declared and to list the powers that he is invoking. The law also requires the administration to provide regular updates to Congress, and it allows lawmakers to terminate an emergency if both the House and Senate vote to do so. We, of course, Congressman, have a divided Congress with Republicans still in control of the Senate. So do you suppose that would be the mechanism to challenge such an order, or would it perhaps come in the courts?
I think it will certainly come in the courts immediately. I expect Congress will challenge it as well. Look, there is, I think, almost no objective measure by which there is an emergency on our southern border. The border arrivals in raw numbers are down from where they were decades ago. The numbers that are up in terms of subsets of those numbers recently are essentially women and children. To the extent that there's an issue and a crisis with unaccompanied children that have been separated either from their families or people coming across, that is a crisis and a humanitarian crisis that we have to deal with that was created by the policies put forth by this administration. The other crisis that we have to deal with is the 800,000 families that are now out of work, the grinding to a halt of essential basic government function, the fact that Coast Guard Station in Boston is conducting a food drive for the members of our Coast Guard because they're not getting a paycheck. That's where we should be. Our focus should be. We can open up government immediately and then turn our concerns to a very real issue that, again, is important to me and that I've gone down to the border a number of times since I've been in Congress. We need to address these concerns. This is not the way to do it.
But as you know, the president makes a humanitarian case for why he's holding his position. Now, we just heard him speaking in Texas moments ago at a roundtable. He made the point or the argument that a wall could help stop human trafficking.
The president's argument that this is some sort of humanitarian, an act of humanitarian graciousness is about as laughable as it gets from somebody that has done more to inflict more pain on immigrants and immigrant families than any president that I can think of, certainly in modern American history. So one, I don't even want to engage in that discussion. Two, once again, his speech, from what I understand just moments ago, and certainly his speech in address to the nation, was filled with falsehoods and misrepresentations. Yes, we have issues with narcotics coming across our southern border. The vast majority of those narcotics come through existing ports of entry, which is why there was proposals to actually strengthen ports of entry. The human trafficking is certainly an issue. A lot of that comes through ports of entry as well. The issue that we have at the moment, the migrant numbers that we are seeing coming across to our southern border, those are from individuals seeking asylum who actually are trying to present themselves to border guards, to border patrol officials, to actually engage in a legal process to gain asylum. This is not an issue of a vast influx of individuals trying to sneak across our border, as he would like to have you believe. That is part of the frustration in this, is that most of our colleagues, Democrats and Republicans, will acknowledge, one, the president's positions on this keep changing, and two, his arguments on this are filled with falsehoods, which, again, I think really critical for people to understand. Of all of the House members that represent communities along our border, Democrat and Republican, every single one of them has come out against this wall. Every one of them, Democrat and Republican, have come out against this wall. This is not a partisan issue. This is actually one where the folks confronted with this most closely believe it is ineffective, inefficient, and not the correct policy solution. And we have bipartisan support, Democrat, Republican, to open up the government right now, House and Senate. The president is the only thing standing in the way, and it's heartbreaking and sad and so not surprising.
Just to fill in some detail on those illegal border crossings, they were about 400,000 last year. That's about a quarter of what they were at their peak in 2000. Last thing before you go, Congressman, just a practical standpoint, a negotiating point. I mean, we have a federal budget of about $4 trillion. The president's asking for $5.7 billion. It's a relative drop in the bucket. What about the argument, you know, just throw him a bone, give him his wall, and if it buys you, say, DACA, it would be money well spent?
Look, this is not one, just because somebody has a terrible policy idea doesn't mean you just waste billions of dollars of taxpayer money on terrible policy ideas. Two, if you want to engage in a discussion around comprehensive immigration reform, we can do that. You don't keep 800,000 American families hostage in order to do so. You engage in that process the way that every other member of government in recent American history has done so. That's what we should do. That's what this discussion should be about. Again, that's where this was 3 weeks ago when a bill passed 100-0 out of the United States Senate. The president needs to make up his mind. I would urge him to listen to House Republicans that are calling on him to open up the government, Senate Republicans that are calling on him to open up the government, and open up the government and engage in the discussions around immigration reform.
Congressman Joseph Kennedy III joining us from Washington. Congressman, thanks again for your time.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Let's turn now to someone with a different view on this. Mary Lou Daxland is president of the Massachusetts Republican Assembly, which is not officially affiliated with the Mass GOP, but certainly represents the views of many Republicans in the state. Mary Lou, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me. It's laughable, the talking points that Congressman Kennedy has down. I mean, I'm just going to say one thing. The
Please.
Speech that the President Trump gave the other night, the fact checkers were giving opinion because every fact was correct in that speech. And I don't believe there is one Republican that is along a border state that is not for the wall. This is just unbelievable propaganda that the Democrats are putting out. And yes, this is liberal Massachusetts. And the president asked us to call our congressmen and our senators. Do you think they're going to listen to the conservatives in Massachusetts? Of course not. It's a liberal state with a weak governor who's a so-called Republican with his D next to his name. So basically, even I heard the clip with the reporter that you had on. You people need to look outside of the alphabet stations to see what's actually being filmed on the border. There has been a caravan coming up for months. And yes, there are less border crossings because since Trump has been president, there's been more people put on the border.
But that's a broad, Mary Lou, that's a broad trend over the course of 16 plus years. I mean, that's multiple administrations. That's not just a Trump thing. But can I ask you, Mary Lou, can I ask, because you mentioned, and we've only got a couple of minutes, so I do want to ask you, you mentioned that all the Republicans along the border are in support of the wall. But there, I have heard some Republicans, though, raise some concern that the president might give away too much, you know, that he'd be so fixated on the wall that perhaps he would trade too much to the Democrats. Democrats. Is that a worry that you have here, that his fixation
no,
will cost?
I don't think. First off, I want the government opened like everybody else does. But Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, they all voted in years past to put a lot more money into a wall. And it never got implemented under Obama. And you people just are just kicking the can down the road. And President Trump is standing tall because I don't believe for a minute, and none of the conservatives in this country believe for one minute, if he opens the government, they're going to come to the table. This whole thing is a hate-mongering of a president that isn't part of the establishment in either party. And you people will never, ever give him credit for anything. And we need to come to the table. And we need to talk to each other. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are not doing that. And
well, I think
that is it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
But Mary Lou, I think one of the objections, though, here is that the president himself isn't following through or hasn't yet followed through on his promise. Remember, the wall was going to be built so fast your head was going to spin. It was going to be paid for by Mexico. I mean, I'm wondering, and his latest effort may be to declare a state of emergency and use military funds, or so he says, to build the wall. I mean, would that satisfy you if you get the wall, but not in the way that he has promised?
No, because what wasn't going to you're splitting hairs here saying the president didn't get this done. Well, he's done other things like tax reform that has changed the economy drastically in this country that you will not give him credit for. So if he builds the wall, and it is needed because they have proven in every stretch along the southern border where a wall has been put up, it has stopped the drug traffic coming through and illegals coming through. And it's the humanitarian thing. They need to separate these children from these so-called parents to stop human trafficking. And they have caught a lot of this going on in the border in the last several years. But again, it's sad that the Democrats will not even talk to this man. I mean, you've got a veteran that started a GoFundMe page to fund the wall, and there are America, it's what is it up to $15 million? So the American public wants this wall, and it's the same vicious circle that everybody keeps going around. The reporters keep going around, the liberal left keeps going around, but nobody's solving it. And the DACA kids are sitting out there, but nobody's solving it. And whose fault it is? Us, the voter, that keeps voting in these candidates year after year after year, and they give us lip service. And Joe Kennedy is among all of them. And it isn't just Democrats, it's Republicans. And that's where we really need to look at this. It's a crisis. It is a crisis. There's more young people dying of drugs. Where is it coming from? It's coming south of this country.
And I think, Mary Lou, though, as you know, there are some clever smugglers who would find a way to get those drugs in, regardless of whether there is a wall there or not. But we'll have to leave it there. Mary Lou Daxland is president of the Massachusetts Republican Assembly. Mary Lou, thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.